Welcome to What CEOs Talk About. Do you wonder what CEOs talk about behind closed doors? How they bring their vision to reality? How do they overcome and succeed through adversity? We share that and so much more with each episode. Now, let's get started with the show.
Good day, everybody. My name is Martin Hunter. I am the host of What CEOs Talk About. Today on the show, Arun, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you, Martin, for having me on. It's my pleasure.
Thank you, Arun. Arun, have you ever been part of a roll-up, a company roll-up, or an acquisition?
Yes, I have. In fact, I was part of the acquisition of CA Technologies into Broadcom.
And was that a good experience or a bad experience?
It was an incredibly good experience, right? I think having been part of even the integration teams firsthand, I saw how well run the integration from a Broadcom perspective and from a CA perspective was. Yes, so very, very, very good experience, and I learned a lot as part of that.
So thank you very much for that, because you are right on the money. The integration of these M&As is critical to the success of the new entity or the larger entity. Too many times people go in M&A strikes and they go, "What?" And then there's no real integration. They think that, oh, well, it's just you guys do this and we do this and let's just put it together. And they do, okay, so how many controllers do you have? I have one, you have one, let's take the better one and then put that together. And then they think that cost cutting is the, you know, the economies of scale is not necessarily applicable without good integration. So thank you very much. So let's talk about our sponsor, Urgio. And if Urgio is an organization through operational excellence that really focuses and helps either the buyer or the seller, well, most likely the buyer, really do integration of M&As. So we bring operational excellence, and Urgio brings operational excellence at the really within all departments. So you're talking about growth, you're talking about optimization and the finance and the economics. So without a good integration, whatever the buyer has spent money on to create this M&A is often wasted, and there's a lot of money that seeps through the cracks because the integration is just not well done. And, you know, 12, 24 months down the road, they go, what's happened? You know, we had our calculations of this is how much we would be making. How come we're not making it? And it's often because they did not have a good integration. So shout out to our sponsors, Urgio.com. Go check them out. Thank you very much. All right. Let's have a chat. Arun, what is the title of this show? I'm pretty excited. And I'm pretty sure Arun and I were kind of throwing things out, but I'm kind of excited by the opposites of this title. Can you go ahead?
Yes, I think what we're going to talk about today is around modernizing technology, right? What do you need to do in order to move forward, no matter where you are from a technology perspective, legacy software, modern software, the hybrid world that exists between the two? What does this mean for you? And more importantly, for the people in your company, right? How do you modernize technology and move people along as you do that? So that's something I thought we'll talk about. What do you think?
Oh, no, absolutely. I think it's fabulous. I think just the term modernizing technology, most people who think of technology, they go, what's the new thing? What's the new way of doing things? Well, technology is just a tool that we use, and some of it is pretty archaic, and some, as we found through COVID, right? So for those, Arun, I did not even attempt to pronouncing your surname. I did not. So I'm going to let you pronounce your full name. What do you currently do? And let's tell the listeners the story of you, right? Where were you born? How did you come up to be? And then all the way up to where we are today.
Sounds good. My name is Arun Vijayaraghavan. People usually trip up on my last name. As you can imagine, it's a long last name. I was born in Chennai in the south of India. So I grew up there. And then I moved here for grad school. I went to UT Austin, got my master's in operations research. So a lot of math there. And then I found my way into supply chain software. I worked for a company called i2 that was the big name at the time in supply chain, right? A lot of smart people working at i2 Technologies. I got some great experience there, and somehow I found my way into business intelligence and analytics, right? Mm-hmm. I worked in demand prediction in i2, so that kind of led me into that path. After that, I worked for a company called E2Open, again in supply chain software, worked on some BI capabilities, analytics capabilities there. And that kind of led me to find interest in machine learning, because that was my graduate school work as well. So I kind of found some interest there. And I joined CA Technologies to run an operational intelligence product, right? Basically, data center intelligence, being able to kind of detect problems in a data center and automate resolution, right? So that's what I did there. After that, CA was acquired by Broadcom, which is a pretty large company. And now I work for Broadcom. So at Broadcom, I run a DevOps a platform, right? And also a machine learning services group within a particular division at Broadcom. And so that's basically what I do now. A lot of my focus right now is helping a lot of the teams kind of move along the curve of maturity from a DevOps perspective and adopting machine learning, right? Which is why I thought the topic would be very interesting. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, my focus historically and now has been working with technology that people perceive to be legacy, right? Mm. And that thing that they cannot fix. But quite honestly, my experience and people who work in that space will tell you that there's legacy software always has a reason why it's still there. These are probably mission critical applications. And there's always a way to modernize and kind of build up on what you have, right? Versus taking a brute force approach. So that's kind of what I do today within Broadcom, help a lot of the teams modernize some of the stuff they're working on without disrupting the core kind of backbone of their applications and products, right?
For those who are not very, I don't want to say educated, but really aware of what technology, developers, DevOps, right? Developing operations. Developers are really construction workers. They build digital assets, right? They go start from scratch. They take raw ingredients and they build a house. So imagine what Arun is referring to. Imagine Central Station, right? So Central Station, you go, well, we need to fix the rail system at Central Station without hindering the current operations or the millions of people that go through Central Station to be able to get from one place to another. So those are pretty awesome problems, like massive problems to fix when you think of it, because so many people don't understand. I usually tend to really put construction analogies to technology because it's the same thing. Like people tend to, you do quality management, you do security the same way, that like you're protecting that asset, and people think that it's all hairy fairy. But when you look at it, you can really, it's about building and protecting certain infrastructures.
I think that's a great example. The example of a station and trying to build up on what you have is fantastic, whether it's a station or an airport, right? Mm-hmm. That's your existing infrastructure, right? And developers are the people working in that environment, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you're going to constantly have people making asks for, hey, let's just build a new station or let's just go build a new airport. Well, in most cases, there's a reason why that airport is where it is, why it serves that particular city or the train station. Yeah. And it does a lot of work, right? There's a lot of throughput traffic going through that. Right, there's a reason why that still exists, and I think that's a fantastic kind of example to highlight what I'm talking about. And I'll give you an example. In the space I work in, which is infrastructure software, there is usually with big customers, there is a hybrid environment, right? They have mainframes that exist there, right? And then they have technology built around this over the last few years, right? Now those mainframes are kind of like the station you're talking about, right? These are there, they exist, they're the backbone of that particular company's transactions, right? Especially financial companies, right? They're like the backbone of those transactions that happen within those companies. And a lot of stuff is built around it, right? So you have a lot of calls for people to say, you got to get rid of the whole thing or you got to replace it. But that's, in my opinion, that is very similar to what to trying to say, let's replace the station completely, right? Versus trying to say, okay, we could build a lot of services around it, make it easier to access the station, put in place modern facilities within the station itself, right? And then there's, like you said, if the DevOps side of the house is improved, if developers can't distinguish between whether this is a new station or an older station, at the end of the day, it's going to do the job, right? Mm-hmm. They can go, they can construct, they can put in modern amenities in the station, and then you've done something very efficiently, and it's going to be very effective because it's time tested, right?
So
that's an example.
So why should organizations think about modernizing? So I'm a CEO, I'm an organization, big or small, right? So maybe I have a software, I'm relying on certain applications or infrastructure. Why would I want to modernize my technology?
So there's two reasons why you want to modernize. And I want to clarify, right? When we talk about modernization, we're talking about improving and investing in what you have to make incremental progress, right? Mm-hmm. We're not talking about replacing everything that mm-hmm. exists. In some cases, it might make sense. Mm-hmm. But in most cases, you have to, in my opinion, look at what you have, right? And find ways to make incremental progress with what you have, right? And there's a mm-hmm. lot of modernization tools available for that. So that's the way I think about it. And why should companies do that? It's at the end of the day, the technology that you implement is the backbone for your company, right? It is going to help you drive all the revenue that, in most cases, in today's digital age, in most cases, it's going to drive all the revenue for your company. So you want to make sure that the technology implementation you have is able to support that, right? And hence, you got to make investments. And I'll give you a specific example of how modernization might help, right? So we have a lot of customers that I work with. That are in the financial sector, like I said, right? Because mm-hmm. that's really the big set of customers in this field that I work in, right? They have a lot of, like I said, mainframes and infrastructure that is not recently built up. This is technology that's built up over years, decades, and a lot of time, right? So many of these customers, and it's actively happening, right? They invest in the DevOps of this particular legacy space, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason they do that is because, let's take a mainframe, for example, right? Mm-hmm. If you modernize the DevOps of a mainframe environment, right? If you make investments in that space, you are accelerating the ability of your development teams, think construction workers trying to build up, right? In the train station example, mm-hmm. right? You are accelerating the ability of these developers to be able to build new features and mm-hmm. provide your customer more value faster, right? So by making investments in these spaces, you're making it much easier for your teams to be able to ship value to your customers faster, right? So at the end of the day, the easiest way to think about it is that's the backbone of your company. You have to ensure you kind of maintain it and keep that up to date, right? That's really what it is.
A lot of people tend to forget why you have technology, because business is simple, right? You have a great idea, you sell the great idea, you make the great idea, you get paid for the great idea, right? That's what business is about. A lot of people don't understand that, or they get so involved in what they're doing that they forget the value flow to the customer. And I think that's one of the things that we really focus on with our organization is really, can you see, deliver and improve the value flow to the customer? They get all these softwares and go, oh, my team's going to be better at this and my team's going to be better at that. And they bolt this on and they bolt this on. And I like, then you go, what'd you guys decide on? Because you've got one notification from Monday, then you've got another notification from Slack, and then you've got another notification from another application that you're using. And then all of a sudden, how are you simplifying the value flow to the customer, right? How are you making sure that things go through, that the money, the exchange of service goes through properly, right? Do you have good direction? Software is about making a deal, in my opinion. Tim Ferriss puts it well in the 4-Hour Workweek. Good direction or definition of what you want to achieve. Eliminate anything and everything else that you've got. And then automate. People tend to jump to automation without understanding what is it clearly the direction to be able to liberate, DEAL, to liberate time to be able to do more of customer satisfaction, to do more sales, to do more optimization. Sometimes taking, and this is, I think, this is an area that I want your opinion, right? Oh, some of the technology has been there for many years, and there's been like one bolt on and another bolt on and another bolt on. And when you look at the technology now, you go, that is not what it should look like. So do you, when you think of modernizing technology, I believe what you're saying too is take stuff off before, see if we can kind of bring things back, less is more kind of approach. What's your kind of thought on all these integrations that are happening right now?
So I think some are driven by necessity. Right? You just can't do anything about it, because in some cases you absolutely need to build complex systems. But if you're asking me, are there more complex systems or designs or implementations out there than there need to be? Yeah, I would say definitely so. Right. So it's human nature, I think, to tend to go complicate things. Right. And it just happens. Like I think it was an Einstein quote, right? Like it's a lot easier for you to make complicated systems, but it takes a genius to simplify something, right? And for many people, that seems counterintuitive, right? It's like, okay, I think you need a genius to handle a complicated system. No, actually, you need a genius to design a simple system that can actually do something that is really complex.
I agreed.
Right? So it's, I think that, but from a, how should you approach this? I think it, again, depends on your industry, right? Mm-hmm. So there are some industries where it might make sense to redo your whole technology, right? Mm-hmm. In some industries, it doesn't make sense to redo your whole technology, right? And it's interesting because over the last decade or decade and a half, I've had a chance to work across cloud spaces with supply chain analytics and intelligence, and more recently with a lot of our customers actually having mainframes, right? Mm-hmm. To try to deploy AI and machine learning on mainframes, right? So I found that there's a lot of misconceptions on both sides, right? So for example, the story of, hey, let's move everything to the cloud versus the story of let's not do anything in the cloud and keep everything on premise, right? Is probably, there are no absolutes here. Right? You have to basically look at each case, try to understand what works for you. And I think have a clear reason for doing what you're doing. In other words, I read a couple of your blogs. I think you talk about the importance of process, right? Mm-hmm. In this, and I think that's incredibly important here, because you have to have a reason for why you're modernizing, mm-hmm. right? And from that reason, you derive what modernization is needed, mm-hmm. right? So, for example, if the reason for modernization is reduction of cost, right? Then there's a certain path to modernizing your technology for cost reduction, right? Mm-hmm. If the reason for modernization is, hey, you're looking, you're living in a market where there are only certain type of skills available, and that's a different path to modernizing that technology stack. So I think you need to have a very, very clear process about, even a thought process to a certain extent, right? Why are you modernizing, right? What business goals are you going to accomplish with that modernization exercise, right? What has not been accomplished today as it aligns to that business goal from mm-hmm. the current technology? And then what you need to modernize will probably just be, will crystallize and be pretty clear. I think a lot of companies, what they do is they just have a generic modernization initiative, right? Or mm-hmm. hey, I need to do X. And there's a business case almost always tied to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
absolutely.
And in my opinion, if that business case has a specific goal on what you want to accomplish as a business metric, and then you work backwards, your odds of success are probably higher.
It people tend to forget, why was technology invented in the first place? So when technology is brought on, 9 times out of 10 is to eliminate human error. It's to eliminate having to make a decision. So Martin cannot make a decision until Arun tells me black or white, right? So what we're looking at doing is we're looking at eliminating the conversation and automating the decision. So a lot of people forget to say, what's your, they forget that you need to draw your business map. So you have to draw your map, and you, what's your center line? What's the critical path for you to do business as best as you can? And technology is there to support or eliminate human error to make sure that the flow of services is comfortable. It's easygoing. It continues appropriately.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Again, if you focus on what your customer wants, right? And customers doesn't have to be external. It could be internal to your organization.
Absolutely,
yes. Technology should make things simpler, right, for your employees. And then you work from there. I agree. Most definitely makes sense.
So what's the human component? You were talking about earlier before. How does it relate to your industry and the people within your industry?
So to me, people and culture are the most important pieces of modernizing technology, right? It's when you think about it, you'd probably say, okay, if I'm modernizing technology, does that mean I just go change all the components of or pieces of the puzzle that exist? And will I be successful? And I think my experience teaches me that you probably won't be successful unless you drive that in parallel with a cultural transformation and also a clear communication of why you're doing what you're doing, right? Everybody needs to understand what the business goal is of that modernization, and then you need to kind of execute on it, right? And I think, for example, in my recent history, I've been working on this initiative around, like I said, helping some of the engineering teams modernize their DevOps processes and kind of building a platform to help them be as modern as possible, right? And this includes many of the teams, right, that run software that's been around for 30 years, 40 years, right? And you think that how are you going to modernize that? But the truth is that when you decide to say, okay, that I have these two goals. I want to ensure that build systems are all automated for that particular product, right? That's a business goal. Now, it doesn't matter if that product is 2 years old or 200 years old, right? That's the goal. And then you go talk to the teams and you convince them that, hey, here is why you want to engage in this modernization exercise, right? You want to be able to automate this particular DevOps process, right? You find that the speed at which teams start adopting it is much higher, right? You start seeing the resistance to change goes away. The inertia, which is always going to exist, right? When you bring something new, it's always going to exist. That goes away. And then people start kind of adopting the initiative, right? And I find very often people just come by and say, okay, we're going to just change everything, right? And that almost always is received poorly, right? Because people are like, why are you changing things on me? What's driving this, right? And I think, yeah, so to me, the people and culture piece is a very integral part of modernizing technology in any company.
What do you think the impact of AI or quantum computing, because I had a few cybersecurity experts on the show, and we were talking about, you know, all the different types of hackers, the white, the grays, the blacks, and how quantum computing, if you're not at the forefront of security, you're going to be just kiboshed. You're just going to be... So what's your... Is there value in... So let me rephrase this. Should you keep up with continuously modernizing your technology, or should you do it in chunks, like kind of reevaluate it against a business case? And what's your kind of thoughts on the impact of... Sorry, there's like 1,000 questions of that, because when I'm listening to you, my brain is going like, oh, there's this. Oh, there's that. Oh, there's this. So let's start quantum computing.
That's the reason I broke into a smile when you asked the question, because it's an ocean, right?
Yeah.
There's a million problems you can solve there. But I think what you are trying to ask is, what is the impact of AI on technology in general? How should people approach the AI, implementing AI in my workplace or in my company, right? And how do I ensure that my technology that we've rolled out is secure for our customers? So those are actually independent questions, yet maybe related, right? So let me take the first one, which is, I think AI is, to a certain extent, it means different things to different people, right? So the goals of AI are exactly what you said 5 minutes back, which is, how can you simplify somebody's life, right? how can you make things much easier for somebody to get their work done? Mm-hmm. How can you, when you Google Maps is a good example. Mm-hmm. Life is so simple after you start using Google Maps or Apple Maps or
so any true. Of those,
right? And like the other day, somebody reached out to me saying, hey, I need to go to this place downtown, right? What do you guys think? What time I should leave? And I was like, you don't need to ask any of us. Just go to Google. They have this feature that says what time you need to get there.
Yeah.
And it tells you what time you need to leave, right? And there's a whole bunch of machine learning happening in the back end to be able to tell you that.
Yes.
But the simplicity of that use case, which is I just need to know what time I need to head out, right? And to get there is kind of the essence of machine learning, right? Mm-hmm. And even in from a work perspective, right? I've used machine learning for supply chain prediction, right? Like forecasting, mm-hmm. Things like where you kind of use traditional statistics used to be used before. Now it also takes into account other things that are not necessarily visible or to a person, right? Computers have this, the ability to see things and patterns is phenomenal, right? So mm-hmm. that's one good use case. The other is in the infrastructure software side of the house. One of the things we've been working on is trying to automate problem detection.
Oh, right?
And,
yeah.
And this is not just for modern tooling, right? Something that is coming out in the last year or two. We were trying to implement machine learning and AI, right, for all our financial customers, right, and customers that have large scale data centers. Their mainframes are an integral part of those data centers, mm-hmm. right? So trying to bring AI and machine learning to that space was a good challenge, right? Because what better than to modernize that space, right?
Yes.
Bring machine learning to the mainframe. So, as mm-hmm. an example, even I think IBM just launched a new set of mainframes, and AI is a key feature in that. Built-in AI, right, is a key feature in that. Mm-hmm. So, any customer adopting those AI capabilities is essentially modernizing their existing tooling to make their customers' life better, right? So like credit card fraud detection is a good example. I think mm-hmm. that would probably be the primary use case there, right? Mm-hmm. Because almost all the credit card data in the world sits on mainframes, mm-hmm. right? And trying to move the data out, bring that back in, do all the analytics, introduces a whole set of risks tied to it. Mm-hmm. Now, companies will still do that, right? They will still move data around because of the ease of doing some of the analytics
of course.
Cloud platforms, right? But I think what they call in-transaction analytics, where you have a lot of customer data that you don't want going back and forth, right? And you need to make some analytics and analysis mm-hmm. on that data, right? In that case, you might want to use something that is on platform and like the example I was talking about. So back to your question, how can AI change, how can customers adopt AI, right? Again, I think it boils down to what are your goals?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think of it as any other technology, right? It's like, what is your business goals, right? If you want to simplify your customer's life of buying something, like an example, Sam's, I was at Sam's Club, and I think they've done a phenomenal job of implementing some technology in their mobile app, right? I was actually, I finished my shopping. I use the app now to scan stuff. And while I was walking out, right, it basically, so while I was walking out, it basically told me that, hey, you typically buy these two things and you haven't today. Did you forget something? Right? And I realized I actually did forget something. So, and so I went right back in and I picked that up. And I just realized that it had figured out that I typically on a Tuesday or something I come
yeah,
and grab.
Yeah, you buy pasta, you buy tomato sauce that goes with it, right?
Exactly. I think it was more likely wine, but yeah.
Crackers, cheese, wine. That's
Crackers, cheese, and wine. Yeah, but so that's a good example because I think when they started implementing AI, they probably had a use case that said, hey, I just need to simplify my customer's life and ensure that we sell more, right? And he buys it from or she buys it from us versus leaving Sam's Club and then going to a a competitor across the street because just because he or she lives nearer to that store.
Yeah, right? And they so just think, forgot. Yeah. Right? For me, so one of the places that I've seen, given that you and I have traveled a lot, and when I traveled from country to country, there's times when I would go to pay with my credit card and my credit card wouldn't work. So I would always carry a MasterCard, an Amex, and a Visa. Because right. depending on where I was in the world, sometimes, you know, MasterCard wasn't accepted, Visa or Amex, you know. So I not always have three credit cards. Well, I still have three credit cards. But anyways, the point was I would use one and one wouldn't work. And I go, oh, I wonder what that is. And then lo and behold, I'd have to go and log in and say, oh, your credit card has been locked because they think there's fraud. Now, it is almost instantaneously, two weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we were traveling as a family and my phone rang and it said MasterCard. And I was like, oh, okay. So gave it to my wife who took the phone call. And she's like, is Mr. Hunter? And yeah. Like, yeah, literally a minute ago, somebody tried to do a transaction, something like Charlottesville, North Carolina or something like that. Are you there right now? No, we're not. And they're like, okay, we're so I'm sure that the credit cards company have saved millions of dollars by implementing some type of AI detection with that.
You know, that's a great example of modernizing technology because you have a financial institution that runs these credit cards transactions, right? They have, like I said, a software and mainframes that do almost all of the work for them, right? Like mm-hmm. it's quite crazy the amount of workload the mainframe carries within financial institutions, right? It's just, it's mind-boggling, right? And they have probably modernized their mainframe implementation to add analytics around what they have today, right? Mm. And that has resulted in phenomenal customer value for you, Martin, as a customer.
Right? Yes.
And to me, that's a great example of what we're talking about, which is you have existing technology, you have a goal of making Martin's life easier, and the bank has figured that they can modernize their existing technology, right, without disrupting it or rebuilding bottoms up by adding key capabilities around it and made your life much, much simpler, right? So that's a great example. In fact, in this particular case, banks have even gone as far as to say that you no longer have to report your travel to them, right? Mm-hmm. They kind of have ways of figuring out whether that's a valid transaction or not, right? So now when you travel, you do not have to, like, I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I remember. You had to call before. You can say, hey, listen, I'm going to India. I'm going to Africa. I'm going to be in those countries. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. And you don't need to do that anymore because they know, mm-hmm. they kind of have the intelligence baked in is so solid right now that they're able to almost accurately predict whether that's a valid transaction or not, right? But this is a great example. I love the example because it highlights exactly what we're talking about, right? Around yeah. our modernizing technology.
Yep. I don't want to use the word easy. I think the word convenient is much better. When I lived in Japan, lots of things were convenient, right? So the 7-Elevens, you can get a full meal, like how the wrapper is made, how everything is recyclable in a certain way. It was all made for the convenience of, and I mean, they live a life of Kaizen, right? So how do I make everything better? I mean, I still apply that. That's part of what services that we offer. So for me, I think one of the areas that I find, so let me ask you a question. How pre-COVID put COVID in the mix? I think a lot of people have modernized their technology because of COVID. I think of real estate. We've bought and sold a house through real estate. Everything is now digitally signed. The health industry changed considerably. When you think of which ones are the most archaic, I shouldn't say archaic, sounds very despicable, but there's some industries that are very traditionalist. Like even pre-COVID, you couldn't go to the lawyer's place. You couldn't digital sign. You had to sign in paper. You had to sign in blue. You couldn't sign in black or vice versa. I can't remember. And I remember I had hip surgery before. I had to drive almost 45 minutes one way to meet with my surgeon for 5 minutes, wait about an hour, and then drive back 45 minutes. I had my same appointment during COVID, took 5 minutes. We went over Zoom, and that was that. What are the industries do you think that are lacking in mindset to modernize technology?
So I think necessity is the mother of all invention. So I read somewhere that COVID was the best, a strategy to modernize your digital infrastructure. You just didn't have a choice, right? Those who did won, those who didn't lost, right?
That's true.
So it's which industries have done well? I think retail has obviously done really well, right? Yeah. Which industries have not done so well? I don't think you can kind of paint an entire industry as not doing well. I think it really has to do with specific companies and what they had done in terms of modernizing their infrastructure before and after the occurrence of COVID, right? In some cases, like I have worked with a lot of customers, right, who have spent a lot of time modernizing their infrastructure, mm-hmm. right? And this includes, and I keep highlighting this because what I want folks to take away is that when you talk about modernization, I'm talking about all kinds of infrastructure, right? Mm-hmm. This is all the way from your cloud infrastructure to your mainframe infrastructure mm-hmm. and everything in between, right? So it's like everything, right? Mm-hmm. So they've spent a lot of time modernizing it before COVID, and those companies benefited a lot at the occurrence of COVID because they could instantly go digital, mm-hmm. right? And those that did not, I think, had problems because they would lose customers to people who had simplified their experience, whether it's shopping experience or a mortgage experience or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. People have just simplified that. And I think those who had simplified it won, and those who had not kind of lost. The thing is, you can't do this overnight. It takes its time. So I think people who had invested in some sort of a modernization effort, investments in your existing infrastructure before COVID and led the way, I think everybody realizes the value of that now. So today, I think everybody is working on it. Mm-hmm. I think everybody is looking at how do you modernize the infrastructure. I just think in some cases, people are doing it without clear goals about why they want to modernize, right? And it's more, it becomes a technology conversation. Like, I want to do this. I want to move my infrastructure here, right? And without the discussion of, I want to move my infrastructure here because these four business use cases might not be achieved, mm-hmm. right? And hence, it makes sense. So I think, from my perspective, I think you can't paint an industry as not modernized, but at the same time, I think there are some people who did a really good job at it, and within, like, retail is a clear winner there, right? A lot of people did it that have done really well, right? I think mortgage is still an example where there's opportunities, right? Like you, I think with your home buying, it is probably, they have digitized the long processes that are involved in signing or closing a mortgage. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have simplified the process of mortgage itself, right? Like, you can go and open the DocuSign. It's still like 300 pages long. I know. To go through, right? So I think if there were to be some cool intelligence there that said, hey, you typically don't sign things that have these terms in it. Are you sure you want to sign on this?
Yeah, that
might be useful, right? So.
For me, I think the DVA is, getting your driver's license. I think that it's still waiting in queue. You have to line up, pull the tab out. You look at a B14 and you look, and it's like, you're at C1. You're like, oh shit. And you sit there and you, and it says, right, no phones allowed on it. And I was like, really? You want me to wait for an hour? I think the one thing that to almost come full circle is, why do you want to modernize technology? And this is, I wrote this down because it was so beautiful, is to simplify the experience. It's not to go faster. It's not to go, it's how do you make it more simple for the person to appreciate the experience of, I shouldn't say, well, you know, buying and selling a house is not, it's still stressful, but you want to make it less stressful. Right? You want to go to your doctor and make it less stressful. If I have to be in traffic and wait 45 minutes, and which meetings, the stress that's associated with, you're simplifying the process of meeting your surgeon prior to the surgery by doing it over, I'm saying Zoom, but it was a different system. So the banking.
Telehealth.
Yeah. Telehealth. Thank you. Same thing with the bank. Like, I can't, like, the last time that I took out cash was to give to my kid to buy pizza at school. And that was like 3 weeks ago. And I was like, I can't remember last time I had physical money in my pocket, right? When you think about it. So by modernizing their apps and their data, it simplifies the experience of consuming when you think about it.
I do think going faster for companies is also a goal of modernization. Yeah, right? When I say that, that's because when you modernize your DevOps processes internally, mm-hmm. right? I go back to your original example of a train station, mm-hmm. right? And the workers building out the train station. At the end of the day, the goal is to simplify the people traveling in and out of the train station, correct. Their experience, right? You want things to be fast. Like if there's a baggage handling involved, you want that to be fast. You want all that to be fast. You want it to be simple entry, exit, whatever. Right? You want just a simple experience. But in order to facilitate that simple experience, right, I think you have to modernize a lot of those pieces in that particular train station, right? Because then the speed at which they can start offering these capabilities and features to customers, in that example, simplifying the customer experience from a not so simple experience, it's a huge change, right?
You're going to have to change
a bunch of things. And if you modernize your technology, you can move faster to simplifying the experience. So there's a strong connection between the ability to move fast by modernizing your technology and the outcome of that being a much simple and rewarding experience for your customers, right? I think that these are kind of tied together.
Yeah, absolutely. It's working on the business and working in the business at the same time. When you provide the opportunity for the builders to build faster, because I don't know, you segregate an area, you make it safe, no travelers are allowed through there, or you create a tunnel so that they go through there. When you're bringing the materials, to your point earlier on the show, it's to be able to simplify a statement, a strategy, a thought process. You need to be able to understand the complexity that it takes to be able to get to simple, right? So there's a lot of, I think of, the first thing that comes to mind is a Japanese sword. The time that it makes to make a Japanese sword to be able to slice through something so quickly and efficiently, there's a lot of hard work that goes into picking the steel, picking the kiln that they're doing it, the carbon, anyways, all of that, there's so much effort put into it to just make a simple cut.
Right.
Right. So that's, I think that how it relates to the human beings is, and too often, and I'm pretty adamant about that, you know, the technology side of things, that's the IT department. That's the IT department. That's the IT department. And everybody thinks that it's this little hole where there's like 15 guys that go into there and then they come out for food and they go back in and just magic happens into there, right? They forget that there needs to be a conducive work environment, not just with the tools, but what they do and how they do it. Help them understand the business. And that's why it's critical to have your DevOps and in the human side of things to be able to make sure that they understand the value flow to your customer. It's as simple as that.
just the business goals. Why are you doing what you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Like I said, I think if you start with why, clarity on why you're doing what you're doing, if you start on what you are going to measure as progress,
yes,
as it relates to why you're doing what you're doing, you can then change the culture, because then people want to contribute to that goal.
Yes.
They want to see themselves. I mean, the Peloton leaderboard is a great example of human psychology, there, right? Like, if you put out a Peloton board and the top people are the ones contributing to that business goal, right? It creates a natural instinct for everybody to want to contribute to that goal.
I agree.
Because at the end of the day, everybody wants to contribute to the business goal. If you state it out clearly, it's usually when that's not clear that you have problems, right? So as if you're working with your customers to understand what they want, right, you're translating that to simple goals for yourself and your technology, and you can identify what needs to change, right? Once you identify what needs to change, then you work on the solution of what modernization means for that, right?
Yeah.
I'll give you an example from my personal life. So I was trying to build a media room in my house, right, a couple of years back. And I said, okay, let me just try to see if I can do this myself, right? I quickly figured that was a bad idea, right? So maybe it took me like a couple of days, but then I realized this is, I can't, my wife thinks I struggle at building an IKEA shoe rack. So she said, you probably should get that straightened out first before taking on other projects. And I think she was right. So, but then I said, okay, let me try to see if I can oversee this project. Let me see what technology pieces are in this, and if I can try to project manage it. And then I realized it's actually a business idea, right? I actually wrote down a whole business idea. I never acted on it. But essentially, you have enough tech out there, right, to do a lot of the work that a contractor is doing in the back end and to simplify his life or her life, right? But there's nobody who's pulled all this together. So, for example, I had an architect, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he came out, really smart guy. He recorded the entire space 3D digitally. Mm-hmm. And then everything else was done through virtual communication with him, right? He basically told me the options. He shared the 3D views of it and all this. And it saved so much time versus him coming five times, showing me drawings, all of that, right? But that was one separate thing. After that, he said, okay, you got to do this. We submitted, got the permissions from the city. Then I found somebody who was willing to construct this. And then that person said, okay, what about the material, right? And I said, okay, how do you do? And they go guessing. There's technology that can say, okay, you want to build this. This is the material you need, right? And progressively for every piece of the project, there's this separate piece of technology that's existing out there, but not applied to this particular use case, right? That I started pulling in and saying, okay, why don't I use this to solve my, I used a digital measurement scale on my iPhone to draw up some measurements in the room. I used one of the companies have a visualize your room here kind of thing, right? So I visualized what we would want to put in there. I used one of the companies that says, here's a task list for something you need to build. Right. And then I used a regular project management tool to schedule it out. And don't ask me how well the project went, because I won't answer that. But
but that's a for somebody who wants to self to do the project manager, who wants to be the general contractor for their house, that's a great technology opportunity right there. I don't want to hire somebody to do it. I want to do it myself. Here's the technology to do it.
Exactly, right? I mean, I learned along the way. I learned a lot of things along the way. But I also learned that, hey, here's an opportunity that if somebody was thinking, I think that's the reason nobody is solving that problem is because it would defeat a business by itself, the contractor, and it's a relationship business, right? That's a whole relationship business, and it works differently, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's no real person trying to solve that problem. But at the end of the day, I realized that you take a use case, and then there's enough technology out there, right? In fact, you probably as a company already have the technology existing, right? So when you say modernizing what you have, it might be assembling these pieces of the puzzle in the right
order
to produce a good image, right?
I agree.
It's it's different from, I think when you initially said, how can technology not be modern, right? This is potentially why, because yeah. if you sequence the pieces of the puzzle wrong, right, then you're going to land up with something that is probably not modern, right? So that's
and no matter how new it is, if it's not functional, no matter how modern it is, if it's not functional, it's not going to be worth anything.
New means nothing if it doesn't solve some problem.
Right? Exactly, right? It's funny because we'll close on this. No matter how much you modernize your technology, there's still a human component to everything that we do. I think that that's the key thing is, you know, we have a young partner and he loves sales and he does sales and he says, okay, Martin, we're gonna do this and we're gonna do that and we're gonna apply this technology and then LinkedIn and do this and then we're gonna grow our sales. I said, okay, let's give it a try. I'm always open to new ideas. Like, let's not shut anybody down just because, you know. And so I said, okay, let's have a little bit of competition. Let's see how your machine, your AI and all that good stuff goes around me contacting people that I know and get referrals for work. And so we did a 90 that we just finished a quarter, right? And then so I said, how many did we get through there? And how many did we get through there? So he just kind of puts his head down and says, how many did you get? How many did I get? So again,
you know, that's a very good example of an industry problem where the use case there is to simplify the process of you contacting your referrals and making the connection, right? Because then if, for example, there's a system that could automate your email and mm-hmm. could send it saying, personalize the note saying, hey, could you help me out, right? Mm-hmm. And reduce the time spent on that. Now, that could be where technology can be modernized.
Correct.
To solve your problem, right? Versus a more generic, hey, I'll just reach out to, I'll give you some generic intelligence about the market and you do what you have to do with it, right? That doesn't help.
It's so funny because my EA applied a Calendly link. So she puts the options of when do you want to talk to Martin. She doesn't say, hey, go to Calendly and pick what you want. Here are the options that fit well with Martin. And there's always three choices. And the rate at which she books meetings through technology is a lot faster. So I'm going to, after this recording goes out, I'm going to go back to my partner and say, hey, listen to this one.
You cannot overstate the amount of, I mean, if I had to summarize from my perspective, right, I think one is modernize technology with the right goals, mm-hmm. right? Start out with the right business goals on why you're modernizing what you're modernizing. How is it going to be accomplished? Second is don't assume what you have today cannot be modernized.
Ooh, right? That's a good one,
In most cases, incremental progress could get you 80% of the way, right? And then the 20% might be the tough problem to solve. Mm. But at least start modernizing what you already have. There's a lot of examples of very successful innovation projects out there, right? And I keep giving the example of a mobile to mainframe, right? Mm-hmm. This exists across most financial institutions, and they are able to modernize their infrastructure incrementally without trying to go like a big bang approach, like everything, trying to change everything out, right? And the third thing is, I cannot overstate this enough, right? People and culture, right, is the most important piece of this, right? Once you establish your goals, be very clear about how you're going to measure these goals. Communicate to your people why you're doing what you're doing, mm-hmm. how you're going to measure what is being done, and how they can contribute to the success of those measurements and KPIs, mm-hmm. right? And make it visible so people can see their contributions, right? I think when you bring all of these three together, you'll find that all of a sudden there's a lot of success stories in your modernization initiatives, right?
You've just summarized operational leadership in because that's what it is. Trust the people that you have, set good direction, set good goals, track it, right? So it's continuous improvement. Plan the work, do the work, track the work, adjust the work. Arun, yeah, I would have gone on for hours. I think there's so much stuff that I want to talk about, but
we went a little all over the place in the middle for a bit. But it's fantastic, this discussion. I think that's what happens when you go unscripted. It's so awesome. You can actually have a nice conversation.
Thank you very, very much. Are you okay if people reach out to you?
Absolutely.
Fabulous.
I would be happy to help. Actually, the way to look at it is I can learn so much when people reach out to me on some of these things, right? So I would actually appreciate it. Please reach out to me.
Fabulous. Thank you very much. Well, with that said, thank you very much, Arun, for being on the show.
Thank you, Martin. It's a great opportunity to talk to your audience, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And with that being said, my name is Martin Hunter. Please like, subscribe, and click the notification bell. And I'm the host of What CEOs Talk About, so we'll talk to you next time. Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in to What CEOs Talk About. Make sure to click subscribe to get notified about future episodes or check us out at www.whatceostalkabout.com.